Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Having fun isn't hard when you've got a couple of Gary YouTubes to keep you company on a warm summer's afternoon. Hello, everybody. How are you doing? A couple of Gary YouTubes here to do some Gary YouTubing. If you don't know what that is, by the way, it's when we do the basic bitch content. All the YouTubers do, like KSI, Mr. Beast, the Sidemen.
Yeah, I can't think of any more.
All the good ones do this basic bitch content, and we're no better than them, so here we are. How are you doing, Gary?
I'm not too bad. Gary, what was the having fun bit? What was that a reference
to? It's from Arthur. Oh, having fun isn't hard when you've got a library card.
Oh, right,
but only nerds do that, and we're not nerds here because we like wrestling. We're here to speak about a pipe dream, a halcyon time of wonderful, as Ronda Rousey put it, hand jobs and cupcakes.
Yeah, that's what she said,
hand jobs and cupcakes in the form of WCPW. This is a WCPW tier list and not a Defiant tier list.
We don't really know that much about Defiant, but we were there in the meat of WCPW.
We were the meat of WCPW.
We were, in many ways.
The Sean Paul, the glue. We should go with the glue. Yeah. But just in case you haven't been here before, we're going to put some things in a tier ranging from the best down to lovely, 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 down to all right, down to just about bearable, and you want to avoid that bin. This is strictly, as I said earlier, a WCPW tier list. So if you're wondering where the likes of Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, Jushin Thunder Liger, Jake Hager, Keith Lee, Kushida, Kyle O'Reilly, Young Bucks, Penta, Riddle, Sydal, Minoru Suzuki, Rey Fénix, Rey Mysterio are... they were more either defiant or not properly involved in WCPW storylines, so they're not included in this year tier list.
A lot of them were like one-off things, like special attractions, weren't they, and stuff like that. Obviously, we should mention as well, there's a lot of wrestlers that we can't or just don't really want to mention for various different reasons.
You know what those reasons are. Also, we should say they wanted to change the name to Defiant before we left. We should get that out there. Is that out there?
Yes. Well, I don't know if it's out there or not, but it was a common misconception that just because of a coincidence in timing, that when we left, the name also changed. But actually, that was already in the works before we left.
So, yes, it was. Yeah, it was. Because the owner wanted to be more like a proper indie company, not this standalone thing with weird things like YouTubers on it. So that's one rumour debunked. A second rumour debunked, we might as well go for it.
Go on.
YouTubers didn't run the thing, right? There was two bosses, a Dragon Eye Zoo, and they were the top of the tree, weren't they?
Yeah, they were the top of the tree. We were kind of just...
we were in the booking meetings. Well, I was for the first bit, and I didn't say anything, and didn't get invited back.
I was, and then I didn't get invited back. And I think I know why I didn't get invited back into the booking meetings, but I don't know if I can say.
Go on, why not? Because you want to make yourself world champion.
Yeah. I wanted to really put myself over. No, it was because we did one episode once where there was a filming going on of Don't Tell the Bride at the same time. You know, on Don't Tell the Bride, they'll go like skydiving or they'll do weird activities. Yeah. And in that episode, it was wrestling. And it just happened that our wrestling show was in Newcastle. I think it was in Newcastle that night. And I'd heard rumblings of this in the office. So in the next booking meeting, they were like, any more questions? And I was like, what's with this Don't Tell the Bride thing? And then they all looked at each other and went, how do you know about that? And I went, I just heard. And I was never invited back to it. That was my last booking meeting. So I don't know why.
The mouth of the Northeast. Anyway, Sam, hit the intro, please. We're starting things with your What Culture Pro Wrestling General Manager, Adam Pachetti, who is the only one of the YouTubers we'll be speaking about today.
Well, he was the most involved.
Yeah.
He was the most involved. He was consistently in storylines, and I don't think any of the rest of us really were enough. But you know what? And it's not just because we've known him for a long time. I thought he was pretty good at what
I thought he was pretty good as well. We should say, by the way, we're going to deal with things like in terms of what every single person on the tier list did while in WCPW, how much a monumental effect they had. You could say it was within the kayfabe if you want.
And to avoid any controversy as well, if we put somebody quite low down, doesn't mean that it's their fault necessarily.
I know.
It could be how they were booked, how it was handled. But Adam did well. He did way better than I could have done.
Do you want a potted history of Adam Pachisi in WCPW? Started off life as a wholesome babyface with a cardboard championship and a real championship that was way too small. The way too small title was put on a really massive hairy man, and then somehow the really small title was then made into a massive title.
Yes.
Power of magic and that. He had a hatred of Martin Kirby from early on for no good reason whatsoever, despite both men being wholesome baby faces in the early stages. I'm only
saying
that.
Shades of Grey booking, though, it was genius.
Shades of, oh, God, lovely. Oh, lovely terminology there. He cemented his turn to the dark side, did Adam Pachisi, your What Culture Pro Wrestling General Manager, with the shove felt around the world when he pushed Martin Kirby off the ropes when he was undoubtedly going to hit, for the first time ever at that point, the Zoidberg elbow. Then, of course, he lost the general managership to Martin Kirby, serves him right for being an arsehole, doesn't it, eh?
Picking on someone
so wholesome as Martin Kirby. There was also the Swords of Essex and Bully Ray involved as well. Then, of course, we had the Parmesan era, which kicked off in Liverpool.
Yes.
And then he ended life in WCPW, as far as I was concerned, after being murdered through a table by Bully Ray.
That's quite a lot. I can see why you've included him out of all of the, he's the only YouTuber you've included, but he did more than even I could remember.
He literally was the Sean Paul for the early stages.
He was the glue.
Going around shaking hands and all sorts.
Oh, yes.
Not in a hand jobs and cupcakes kind of way.
No, no.
Just shaking hands with everyone. Welcome to the company.
We all had to do a lot of handshaking. It was always funny when a new wrestler would come in and assume that Adam was in fact in charge because he was the kayfabe general manager.
Another common misconception, he wasn't actually the general manager, just an on-screen thing.
They'd be DMing him for bookings and everything. But I think Adam really did well in every role, and even though that sounds like all similar sort of stuff, it wasn't. He started off as like your kind of William Regal down the middle GM who's not gonna.
He was more like Mr. Bingley or whatever he was off World of Sport. Yeah. A bit like, you could tell, obviously, you're going to be nervous in those situations. I think when Adam was a babyface, you could sort of tell he was a little bit nervous. But when he turned heel, he's a natural heel. He's a real life heel, god damn it.
Yeah. The shove of Kirby off the ropes and then the glow sticks that everyone threw.
Remember that promo when he had the t-shirt and somehow he lobbed it and it landed on the top rail of like the curtains everywhere.
Magic.
Oh, magic. He's got to go top tier, Annie. I know it sounds
very biased.
But you look at the storylines of when he was there, when we were there, he was at the centre of the biggest one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was doing so well that wrestlers wanted to come back and do more with him. Bubba Ray Dudley wanted to come back and carry on their storyline, I believe.
He wanted to adopt him.
He did. So, as dodgy as it looks from us, I think you're
right. Wait and put him in the table? And, no, let's just do it.
No,
let's just put him at the end. Because it's going to look bad if we're going to put wrestlers now below YouTube superstar Adam Pachisi.
But again, it's not necessarily whether they were good or not. It's how they were used and how well they did. And Adam was used well and did well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Angelico, we move on to now. We're doing these in alphabetical order, so we are. He lost in the first round of the Pro Wrestling World Cup to Ricochet. Then, of course, he had that little series of matches with H.T. Drake, where H.T. Drake was a genius because you see, in real life, in the Shoot World Brothers, H.T. Drake, he built the rings with his own two hands. Mm. And because he did that, he bled into a storyline with Angelico where he started using the ringside area and stuff to do with the ring to his advantage. He tied him up at one point.
I feel like they could have done more with that. We'll get on to that when we talk about H.T. Drake, I suppose.
But I've just included Angelico because he did that stuff with Drake.
Yeah, right.
Basically.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Apart from that, he didn't do much else, which is a shame because he's a really talented guy. He'd obviously go on to AEW. He'd already been in Lucha Underground and stuff like that. And Liverpool fan.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is that because of Bruce Grobbelaar?
Actually, because they're both South African. I think
I
it was...
do that,
no, it's a fine accent.
Thank you.
I think that... if Leonardo DiCaprio can get away with it in that film he was in, you can get away with it as well.
Oh, right, fair enough.
Was it Blood Diamond? Maybe?
No idea.
Yes, so, we were driving past Old Trafford because the hotel we used to stay in when we did shows in Manchester was in Salford, I think. And we drove past Old Trafford and he was like, oh, it's Old Trafford. And I was in the same car as him on the way back. And I was like, are you my United fan? He went, no, Liverpool, bro. I was like, interesting.
Interesting indeed. It's got to go.
I think bearable.
Go bearable. We can change the rankings later on the tier if we feel he should be going higher or lower, but we'll put him bearable.
I was a bit of a Marcus Mark when he came in.
Why?
Because I was quite a big fan of Lucha Underground and I thought, we're getting Angelico.
How high can you jump, Angelico?
Yeah. I wish we got him to jump off something. That would have boosted him quite a few high. Nothing wrong with his performance. I feel like we're going to say this loads of times, but he's just barely there.
It's a shit because you mentioned jumping there. There was a story with a certain professional wrestler who I won't mention by name, but they wanted to jump off the little balcony. You remember in the O2, the balcony the
fire,
where we used to sit?
The fire exit.
No, the balcony. Where the seat, you wanted to jump off there, but they wouldn't let him. So you could have had memorable moments in WCPW if it wasn't for health and safety.
Didn't want the venue to sue us.
We're moving on now to Aaron Stevens, who you might have known as Damien Sandow, Damien Mizdow, way back in the day. Of course, this was a signing that everyone was gagging for at the time because he just left the WWE in the May. I think it was the July, June sort of time when he arrived in WCPW. He was signed to much fanfare because of that, of course, those little 2 months that had passed.
Yes.
He had two matches in the promotion, but he was there for one big taping, so he was actually on the air for a month. So it felt like more than what I'm just about to speak here. He defeated Doug Williams to become the number one contender for Big Damo's WCPW Championship, but he lost to Big Damo in the next match inside of 10 minutes. And then he shot some stuff, some showreel inside the office, so he did.
He did.
His acting career, which obviously worked wonders for him.
He was the first... I hope I'm not exaggerating here, but I think he was surprised how good a reception he got. Like, I think we helped reignite his love for
him. He's a really humble guy.
He was a lovely guy. I remember him being massive and being shocked at how massive he was. I do an interview with him and I'm like barely on the screen. I'm like, ooh. Yeah. And I remember the reception for him because he was like the first WWE release that we'd got, and it was huge, and they were chanting Aaron Stevens, not Damien Sandow, which was nice as well.
I think this is the first sign that made people go, oh, these are money bags, these these is going to piss all the money away. But it was got a big reception, of course, when he arrived, and he did some good stuff. I remember him being good fun. I can't remember much of the matches he had.
That's the thing.
I don't think that's why he's here.
No, so now I'm thinking either lovely or right.
Oh, I don't think it's lovely.
Lovely for the significance of it, though, the significance. The fact that I went those two and you went, right.
I think that in what he did, I think it's on a similar level to Angelico, but I think the fanfare and the signing
boosts
and the fact it was pulled off by the likes of Dragon Eyes and the two bosses and whoever else was involved in the deal, that pushes it up to all right.
Fair enough.
There we go. We didn't sign Aaron Stevens. I had to just get that out there. Because there's still people to this. Do you get certain comments on, like, when we're doing pitches videos? Yeah. Oh, how can they do pitches videos for WWE when they burned their own company into the ground? It wasn't us.
I think it's died down a bit since NXT UK came in and trashed the UK scene. But we used to get a lot of flack from the cooler promotions, fans of the cooler promotions, I should say. But yes.
Bad Bones next up.
Sam Driver's favourite wrestler in the world.
And with good reason, because he was a stalwart of the mid-card in WCPW and the hardcore division.
Sam kept on being like, he could be the champion. He really wanted to push him.
Really?
Well, Sam loves foreign wrestling in any other country, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And in Germany, Bad Bones not WXW, the other promotion, the promotion Bad Bones is from, he was like the Triple H of that promotion.
Really? I thought he was very, very good.
Oh, he was very good.
He was more well-known in WCPW for his hardcore exploits against the likes of Rampage, where things got big and things got very naughty indeed. He lost to Penta L0M, as he was known back then, in the first round of the Pro Wrestling World Cup, which is a little downward thumbs there.
A little thumbs down.
But I've written down here, and I don't know if this sounds disrespectful or not, sort of like the hardcore Holly of the promotion in many respects.
No, I get it. An ass kicker.
Low to mid card, ass kicking heel, no bollocks, put on a show every single time, never let you down.
That's
Bad Bones.
You need that as well. Yeah. I've got two funny memories about Bad Bones.
What? Oh, careful.
No, actually, one of them's not funny. One of them's just that he got busted wide open and not many people did in WCPW.
Hilarious.
That's a funny story. The second one involves him bleeding as well. We were shooting a promo backstage where I think him and like maybe Gabriel Kidd were getting into a confrontation, and they were like, all right then. And then they shoved each other and Kidd shoved him. And I think it was Bad Bones there was a nail jutting out of the door frame the back of his shiny head.
Such a shiny head as well.
And then you watch the outtake and he goes, oh, hang on. And then just he takes it really calm, more calm than I would have taken it. And then it's nice to see all these wrestlers who were just shouting at each other moments ago, being like, are you all right? But he was a nice guy, funny guy.
Yeah, I liked being.
I loved his accent.
He was very, very sensual, really.
He was quite a sensual man. Yeah,
sensual healing. I reckon lovely, lovely me. I reckon it'll be towards the bottom of lovely, lovely by the end of the tier. But I think for what he did, and the role he was given, by the way, I think he knocked out the park.
Oh, no bones about it. Come on now.
Bad to the bone. boners. Bea Priestley now. Herself and Nixon knew like the Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels of the women's division in the early days. Mainly because they were the only two. But that game was now a call. Yeah. They had the series of gnarly matches which got gnarlier and gnarlier and gnarlier as they went on, which eventually ended, well, not even ended, culminated, I should say, with the last women's standing match where Bea was murdered with her head stuck in a chair by Nixon Newell. Nixon Newell, of course, became the first ever champion. Then we had the stuff where with the Swords of Essex, and then the stuff with Ospreay, of course. She nicked the bloody championship belt, didn't she?
She stole it.
Oh.
What? Oh. I can't remember this.
Don't remember?
No.
Not a real thing. It's part of a storyline.
Yeah, but I can't remember that storyline.
She nicked the women's championship.
Oh.
It wasn't hers, but she had it for a while.
Was it Nixon Newell?
I think so.
Oh, you can't be doing that.
I haven't done my research very well there.
I thought she was an excellent heel, whether it was in terms of on her own or as part of the Swords of Essex. I thought she was really good in that role. I made a faux pas with Bea Priestley once.
Steady on now.
After the days of WCPW, I went to see her in Frontline Wrestling in London, in the East End. And I saw her after at the merch table, and I was like, you're right. And we like, had a little catch up, and I was like, you're really good now. And the word now escaped. I tried to pull it back, and I was like, you're. And she laughed. She took it really well. She was like, no, yeah. And I was like, no, it's just you were doing moves I've never seen you do before. And she was like, well, I've been in Japan. I've been learning all this stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, fair play.
She is. It's not even a disrespectful thing to say. Is that how far she's come?
Oh, she's so improved. Yeah. So improved.
But bear in mind, in 2016, she had just turned 20 when WCW would start. She's now 26.
Bloody hell.
She was born on March the 2nd. I'm giving away a lady's age. That's very rude of me. Sorry, everybody. But there you go. She was very, very young indeed. Wise beyond her years.
We were all so young then, Ross.
No, not really. Now, where are you going to put her?
All right.
Yeah. No, yeah. We're putting Bad Bones. Lovely, lovely.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're
do you
right.
Reckon? Oh, do we move Bad Bones down? I might have gone a bit. I might have gone a bit Sam Driver on that one.
Well, if we move Bad Bones down, I want to put him in the top of All Right.
Yeah.
And then, do we put B in All Right as well?
I put B in there as well.
Because she really had a lot to do being one of the only two women in the division at the start.
Yeah.
I think that deserves a lot of credit.
I reckon the mixed tag matches she had with Ospreay, I don't know how many she had off the
top
of
the head, but
they were always very, very good.
They were very good.
Next up, we move on to Big Damo, who, of course, was the first ever WCPW champion that eventually grew to fit the size of his massive big body.
Yeah.
Fantastic early memories of him being in WCPW before the... Was it before the warehouse thing even happened? Because when he came in the office to shoot some vignettes, there was a massive big posh tower in Gateshead where the old office used to be. I think they've moved now, haven't they?
Yeah, they've
somewhere
moved
else. But it was all these Santanders at the top of it.
Oh, yeah.
All these big banking firms and all these fancy people in suits. Yeah, I'm there in my Rampage Brown t-shirt in the queue for me lunch. Mm-hmm. And all these big fancy corporations and companies around us. And then Big Damo had to shoot these things where he had to go down in the lift and then come back up, and that's when the scene would begin. Obviously he ran into people in the suits and whatnot while he was in his wrestling attire, which is something I wish I could have seen with my own eyes.
I know, I only saw him at the top of the lift, but I wish I'd seen the scenes in the lobby.
Yeah.
With all these suited folk walking around and then a massive man.
Yeah.
In his pants.
In his, oh, yeah.
Oiled up. he might have been the first wrestler who came to the office. It would have either been him or Rampage.
Yeah.
But, oh, I think he's fantastic.
Yeah.
He was really good. First champion as well.
Obviously, the big... Was it a double turn that happened on the first ever show?
Punched me in the face.
Oh, my God.
And pile-drived a ref.
Surprise, you've recovered here in 2022.
I did not know it was coming because I was meant to do a different thing and I stood in the wrong place. It was my first ever mistake. He was meant to launch me into the turnbuckles.
Right.
And I was meant to, like, clang into them and then fall
down.
Or
do the Bret Hart bump in the turnbuckles.
The Ric Flair. Yeah. I was just meant to go bang and then fall down. But I was stood at the wrong angle, so he just went... And it looked really good and I didn't know it was coming, but... It didn't fit. Wrestlers are amazing. Mm. It just was a soft little thud like that.
Yeah. So early on, after becoming Jack's boyfriend, as I've written down here.
Whoa.
Not even that, was it? It was the other way around. He left you.
He did, he left me, but there was a fight for my love, like Cheryl Cole would say, between him and Joe Hendry. He won that match. Then me and him went into the title match, and he won that one as well.
Yeah. There we go.
Turned on me.
He defeated Aaron Stevens on Loaded, obviously, soon after becoming champion, then lost the titles to Connors. Well, not really. He lost it in a fatal four-way where Connors became the champion. Connors pinned Hendry.
Yeah.
Damo and Rampage were stacked on the ramp during stacked.
Mm.
Do you get it?
I do.
Because he did a big suplex and that, so he wasn't involved in the final fall. Career on the line, he lost to Alberto El Patron.
Oh, my word. He won't be on this tier later.
No, he won't. In his final match in the company was against Kirby at True Legacy, where I think everyone realised, oh, he's off to WWE.
That was a lovely moment, because I remember he gave a promo afterwards with Kirby in the ring with him, and he was saying, oh, yeah, I'll be off soon. And Kirby went, you going on holiday? I was like, yes. It's like Chicken Run. No, it was nice. I think he's got to be top tier.
I think he's top tier.
He's
got to
be first ever champion. Yeah.
Arguably the nicest member of the roster. So and there was nice. A fair few of them.
Lovely man.
I was petrified upon meeting him at the first time. Then there was an interview which some other guy did on YouTube. Not a big YouTuber, just some other guy, an interview with him.
Yeah.
It's some sort of junket thing. And he never met him yet. And he's like, oh, I'm a nice guy. Even though I'd not met him by that point. I was like, hello, Damo. Thanks for calling me a nice guy. He was like, no problem.
That's nice. He might have to emphasise his niceness a lot going through life because people just assume he's hard.
Well,
he probably is hard.
Yeah.
Probably,
yeah. I think he's like, well, no, to be fair, Hagrid. He's a nice big
Hagrid's a lovely man as well, yeah.
Very similar, big Damo and Hagrid.
I hope Damo goes on to do more in, well, maybe not even AEW, just wherever he goes. I hope he does well.
Yeah.
He looks even more badass with the shaved head now. Yeah. Great guy.
We're going in.
B-R-A-N-D-I.
Brandi Rhodes was in WCPW for a little bit.
She
had that match with Prince Amin, which I want to include in this too.
Is this why she's made it?
It's basically why she's made it. And because she accompanied Cody Rhodes a fair few times while coming over
here.
She did
as well.
But the people might remember that match for a spot where Amin grabbed Brandi by the chest.
Yes, he did.
Which you might be thinking is a little bit... Ooh,
classic heelish. Classic. No, it's just good old-fashioned heel work.
You'll never guess whose idea that was.
I know whose idea it was.
Cody Rhodes.
Cody Rhodes'
idea. I was
idea.
There when he said, oh, why don't you do that?
Why don't
like,
you do that?
Prince B was like, bro! Bro! Nah, he's like
the... How are you doing that, bro?
The Huddersfield Riddle. In the bro sense, not any other sense, is Prince Amin. But also, she was murdered through a table by Drew Galloway while clutching on to Cody, and I think what was Cody's last ever match as part of WCPW.
Reminded me of when, it was slightly different, but when Triple H knocked Stephanie off at WrestleMania 32.
Mm.
But it was different because they were holding on to each other.
But they did get the big boot off, it was sort of similar.
She went up the top rope and sang A Whole New World and did the frog splash with the carpet. That was good.
Yeah, it
was a quality match. No, because the thing is, right, obviously the match wasn't a technical classic.
No.
But the crowd was so into it.
Yeah.
It was actually, they were like falling into the front row and stuff.
And as MJF said recently, that's the most important thing, making you feel.
I overheard Cody talking to them afterwards, giving them like a debrief because he'd watched it.
Mm.
And he was then saying like his feedback basically. And he was saying like, he was like, you told a story, the crowd were into it, happy days. And I thought, you know what? Yeah, forget Meltzer and his stars.
Yeah, he's such an arsehole, Meltzer. It's about what you feel. Did you enjoy it? Yes or no? It's fine. Forget about your stars.
Yeah.
Anyway, Brandi.
Yeah, the pain. No, I'm joking. No.
Terrible. Gotta be on it. Just
well, she did so little.
Yeah, you know, but she also came across a fair few times, so we can't not put her in.
Yes, and that one match she had, even though it wasn't, as I say, a 10 and classic, really fun match.
Next up, we have Adam Pacitti's adopted father. We have Bully Ray, who was brought in by the nefarious Adam Pacitti, the Bolter of the Muscle.
Do you know who I am?
Do you know who I am? Yes, we do, Bully Ray.
Yes, we do.
I don't know why I kept asking.
He's
that.
Like a door or a fridge or a bear. He is a massive, massive bloke.
My first my first interaction with Bully Ray was walking down the corridor when he did that thing which I can't do with my mouth, where you know when you could try and get a dog to like sort of sit down and I can't do it.
That's I can't really do
he
that.
He did that to
was
me.
Was it loud though?
And I was just like, he's looking down from a great height just going...
Well, just saying hello.
Like I was a little dog.
Saying hello.
Just I've never felt so emasculate in all my days.
He was the wrestler with one of... He's one of the wrestlers with the hardest handshake I've ever... Because the first time I met him, I went over and I was like, I've got to just do it. I've got to just go over and introduce myself. I was like, hello. And then he crushed my hand. And then the next day, he walked past and went, sup, kid? And I was like... All right, I'm in his good books now, that's fine. Yeah, no, an intimidating man, but also, what I learned is he really put effort in.
Mm.
Attention to detail, which I'm sure we'll talk about, but he really cared. He wasn't just one of these imports you bring in who just wants a payday.
Well, I mean, there was fair good reason for that because he was brought in to be the muscle, or the secondary muscle behind Adam of the Pacitti Club,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the very ownership, the managership of the company was on the line, and Bully Ray was involved, obviously, in a handicap match where the tag team of himself... the Swords of Essex, they lost, didn't they, to the tag team of Matt Hardy, Broken Matt Hardy, and Martin Kirby in a no DQ match. Adam Pacitti trying to change things as he was going along. The bit at the end where Kirby obviously gets the win, and then Adam's on his knees and he kicks him in the head. It's all very good stuff. But Bully, that was the thing that brought me sort of icon onto quite early as well, because you know a fair few people just come over and do the match and then bugger off. But Bully Ray was fully like invested in like why is this happening? How is this happening? What's happening after this happens?
He was all about the story, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why we know who you are.
But Have you read all the...
No, there's still more to go. Yeah, I thought you were going to put something in there.
No, carry on.
I've read that already. Lost a lights out match to Drew Galloway, and that was for the title as well, while Drew was holding the championship.
Yes.
And then, of course, he ended his stint in WCPW. He did a few more things. It was the match with Matt Hardy, wasn't there, where you got bitten on the neck?
Yeah.
He left WCPW after murdering his former leader, his own biological adopted son, Adam Pacitti, through a table.
Oh, fantastic.
Which was,
it was actually really good. Another reason why I put Adam in the top tier, I think, was because of he took that table bump.
I should have mentioned that, shouldn't I?
I remember saying it to him.
Oh, you did.
I remember saying it to him, like, oh, were you scared or whatever? And he was like, well, if you're going to get put through a table by anyone, you wanted to be Bubba Ray Dudley. What else was it? Oh, yeah, Liverpool fan as well. Just going to mention whenever someone's a Liverpool fan.
Oh, yeah, because he came out in Manchester.
With his Liverpool scarf.
You know what that is? No, we need to do, probably, don't we?
Oh, yes, it is.
With the effect and everything on
screen.
But
he knew what he was doing. I thought he's one of the top two tiers for me.
I think he's top tier.
Yeah.
In terms of what he did.
Yeah.
Monumental stint. His calves as well. Absolutely dazzling. Never seen such defined calves until Jack Grealish came along.
Yeah.
And Jack Grealish wasn't quite a thing yet in 2016, so there we go. Cody Rhodes we move on to now, of course, wins against Doug Williams on his debut at Refuse to Lose. That song made me just want to punch holes in walls. It was that aggressive. He loses against Connors in a title match. I should say Connors defends his title in a title match against Cody. And then to Kurt Angle, a true legacy. Cody can't catch a break. He then wins the Internet Championship and goes on to defend against the likes of Zack Sabre Jr., Ricochet, Liam Slater, all bangers of matches I remember way back in the day. He took part in the 30-man Rumble where Kirby became champion because Drew was going away.
Cody stepped in to fill in for a replacement in the Royal Rumble match, which he didn't even have to do, wasn't booked for. Fair play to him.
Yeah.
He was just a pro in everything he was in, really, wasn't he?
He was, but that's not the end of the part of history because, of course, he won the Internet, or lost the Internet Championship, in sensational circumstances to Gabriel Kidd, giving Gabriel Kidd, I think, probably maybe his first ever win in WCPW after nearly a year.
Oh, yeah.
Of losing matches and becoming someone's servant as well, of course. Then he was doing stuff with the Prestige. Not in the Prestige, against the Prestige. Mm-hmm. Defeated Drew Galloway in his last match, despite him and Brandy going through the table, as we said earlier. It's a... Especially the way... Because he took the Internet title around the world, didn't he?
He was like everything we've said about Bully Ray. He really cared and was, to a surprising degree, I remember being so shocked that he was so willing to do everything. This was, of course, in his list period when he left WWE. He was going around all these different indie things he wanted to do. But we weren't one of the cool dream things that wrestlers want to do, like PWG or Ring of Honor or whatever. And he still gave his absolute all.
Yeah.
And I can't fault that one little bit.
Top tier.
A bit horrible to me, but it's fine.
Why?
Why he just always was like, just always laughed at me and that, didn't he? Always put little ribbingtons on me. Like when he'd, at the end of the show, when he was saying bye to everyone, he'd always introduce himself to me as if it was the first time we'd met.
There's good reason for that, though.
What's that?
And we'll get onto that a bit later on when we speak about a certain Olympic gold medalist.
There was nothing I did wrong. I didn't
Olympic
write anyway.
Gold medalist. We'll speak about that later.
Oh, we put him top tier?
Top tier, gotta be.
I was just joking. Cody's a great, he's the best. So we'll put him top. Yeah.
Next up, we have Mr. Brexit, Doug Williams.
I forgot about Mr.
Which was
Brexit.
A brilliant gimmick for the time back in 2016 when the big old voting thing was going on about Brexit and whatnot. He lost to Aaron Stevens, of course, in the number one contendership match for Big Demo's championship. Then he ended, which is this something I forgot about, he ended Noam Dar's WCPW career by beating him in a match.
Yes, the match, I remember that match, because the stipulation was if Dar loses, he retires, but if he wins, he gets Doug's wages for a year.
Whoa!
Because I remember the ring announcements at the start of the match and they were going through the stipulations. They were like, if Noam wins, he gets Doug's earnings for the next quarter or whatever. And I remember Dar going like, yeah. And I was thinking, he doesn't seem that nervous considering he'll be out if... Anyway.
He didn't care. Anyway, he lost lots of matches because that was his role. He did lots of stuff behind the scenes, we should say.
Road agent-y stuff, yeah.
But while he was in the ring, we're speaking about here, of course, on this kayfabe tier list, he lost lots of matches to the likes of Cody, Hendry, including a loss in a European rules match.
I don't know if I was there for that.
I can't remember that one at all, but it sounds really, really boring. He overcame, of course, we should mention this as well, a horrible spot in the match with Stevens where he jumped off the top rope and landed on his head.
Yeah.
Off the top rope, yet still continued to wrestle the match, which was unbelievable.
That was scary,
All the credit in the world to him. He was always very entertaining when he was on screen.
Always
fulfilled his role very well. I remember, was it in the Kurt Angle Invitational Battle Royal?
I think
where he was sat at ringside with a paper?
He didn't get in the ring at first, he just sat and read the paper. And do you know what? He was sat right in front of the guardrail, and do you know who started having a word with him over his shoulder?
Fraser Porter.
Fraser Porter.
Yeah, the biggest WCPW fan ever.
Oh yeah.
He started going ee when I told him I was doing this tier list today. Fraser, he's that much of a
he
fan.
He started going ee.
Yeah, massively excited. I know you hate him, but you know,
I don't hate
Fraser. Nice to see the young kid being happy. Yeah. So Doug Williams, where we're going?
Lovely, all right.
I'd say all right.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah, looking at the people who are already in all right, he's got to be in all right.
He fulfilled his role, but his role was never that big, was it?
But in terms of, if we were doing a secondary tier list in terms of their overall contribution
would
be a lot
higher.
Yeah, of course.
Drew Galloway, who of course defeated Mr. Brexit in his WCPW debut and stacked. He took part in the Kurt Angle Invitational, but of course didn't win. He lost that match against Connors with the title on the line where Connors did the old, what did he call it back then? Don't Look Down?
Is that not Pete Dunne's? Oh, that's the bitter end. Yeah, I think it was the Don't Look Down.
Yeah, he did the old DD, Hammerlock DDT.
But Drew was far too big and
far too long, man. And landed on his neck. And it did build up. It was literally 2 months later, which I can't believe it was that short of a time period that passed. The return in London where the lights came on and Drew was there and Connors was on the ramp being all Gollum-like with his title. And Drew's just like, you're... F-U-C-K.
It was... Oh, the reception he got then was class. I noticed that he did the same angle in ICW as well. Like, the same sort of promo and stuff. But I'm not going to hold that against him because both receptions were really good.
Yeah.
Lovely guy.
Yeah, but you're a nice guy.
Really humble. Yeah. I know we're saying this about everyone. Oh, what a lovely person.
Yeah, but you get a certain perception of people. That's what I'm looking for. Perception of people when they've made it to that level.
Yeah.
And then they're coming down to WCPW.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, oh, they're just here for the money, aren't they? But no, they really did get invested. And they really did. They had no right to be nice to us. We had no business being there. We were just there because of circumstances.
Yeah.
He was still very nice to us. So.
He was class. And he had a whole variety of different types of matches, I seem to remember as well.
Yeah, all sorts of stuff. He won the championship, of course, in a blue bar steel cage.
Oh, yes.
The triple threat match with Connors and Hendry. The finish of that match was done perfectly with Hendry and Galloway dropping to the floor at the same time. But Galloway clearly hit first, therefore he won the title. Excuse me. He defended it against Bully Ray in an ODQ match we mentioned earlier. Hendry a couple of times, including the one where Kirby was the special ref for True Destiny. I hate that theme tune.
That
so
one
much.
Wasn't one of my favourites, no.
Oh, man, I used to play after every single video, so you had no choice but to hear the first bit.
Destiny!
Will Ospreay and Galloway had a fantastic match.
What
exit
a match.
Wounds with Matt Stryker. I thought he knocked out the park on commentary for that match there.
Oh, yeah.
What are you doing, kid?
Yeah.
You had the chance to win and you're dead. I'm doing Jim Ross.
Is that while Drew's spinning him around in the DDT? Oh, yes. Is that when Ospreay was dressed as, like, Hitman for some reason?
But his trousers didn't turn up.
Is that what actually happened?
I think it was.
I thought that was just part of the look.
I'm sure someone came up to me and was like, can you go and get him some trousers? And then apparently Ospreay was just like, oh, it's fine, doesn't matter.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, there we go. Rampage at State of America.
Sorry, after that Ospreay match, Drew was, I remember walking past him backstage and he was absolutely buzzing because I think it was his first proper barn burner since he came back from his injury. And I remember him being like he just scored a goal. He was like, I was like, wow.
It must feel good when you do something like that and get everyone going out there, going radio rental. Then we go to State of Emergency in Orlando, where Drew Galloway defeated Rampage to retain his WCPW championship, and then nothing happened. Until we went to NXT TakeOver Orlando that very evening, that same evening of State of Emergency. And I was there, I was sat next to you and Adam.
Yeah.
And we looked at the big screen and there was the WCPW champion, Drew Galloway.
It's our champion on TakeOver.
Crazy thing was, he didn't tell a soul. I was sat in that locker room, right, talking to Drew Galloway about how hot it was. For 20 minutes or so, he had his documentary guy with him. Forgetting his name. But he no mention of anything to anybody. And then he just rocks up a TakeOver. Obviously, keeping, kayfabe.
Oh, of course.
Brother in that,
I can't blame him.
Yeah, there he was. He went off to
And,
to
you know,
NXT.
He didn't just vacate the belt. He actually dropped it as well. So.
He came back, and he did a couple of things. He did a couple of matches upon coming back. But he lost the championship as part of that big rumble where Kirby finally hit the Zoidberg elbow and got the big one. But again, it's much like Cody. Really got invested in everything we were doing. Doing back then, but I wasn't really involved. WCPW was doing, but there we go.
He's top tier.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he's definitely top tier. I'll put Adam at the
back. We'll do that at the end. We'll do that.
I know, but you're right. I'm just gonna make sure Adam's at the back because it looks really bad.
I wish I'd done Adam last now. Because that visual of him being above all those
looking down on
that picture as well.
Yeah.
I've done a wrong thing there. Anyway, speaking from wrong to right, we now go to El Hijo de Dos Caras.
Ross,
now some people.
You said that people who didn't really have storylines weren't going to be on this list.
True Destiny, he loses to Drago, but then Unloaded, he and Drago come together to become a tag team where they lose a match to Juventud Guerrera and Rey Fenix. It was do you hear that sentence there?
Yeah, it was mad, yeah.
To Juventud Guerrera and Rey Fenix in a dark match before a pay-per-view, right? And on one side of the ring, as you do at wrestling shows, there's a commentary table with all sorts of electronics. There was a computer, a couple of monitors. But this is obviously the dark match where no commentary was taking place. Before the match, all four lads, you got Drago. Am I saying that right? Is it Drago or Drago?
I've always said Drago, but
Drago,
I'm not sure.
Whatever. Yeah. You got Drago, El Hijo de Dos Caras. You got Juventud Guerrera and Rey Fenix, that one from AEW. And they're all told, stay away from that big computer there, that big desk,
yeah,
those monitors.
Don't
stay away from there.
Table, yeah.
We've got a big, long pay-per-view to do. We can't have anything happening to that stuff before we go on the air.
Do what you want. Have a great match. Have a great time. But just stay away from the announce table, yeah?
But the reason El Hijo de Dos Caras has been spoken about today in this video is because he wrote his name into professional wrestling folklore. Because for some reason, he either went over the top rope, he went through the ropes for an old tope suicida, but he went straight clattering to the table and almost ended No Regrets before No Regrets went on the
it
air.
It was so funny.
Everyone
though.
Was full of regrets.
It was so funny, though. And he's not, when you hear that he's a luchador, if you've never seen him, he's not one
he's
of these
massive.
Little nippy lads. He's a big lad.
He's a big, chunky boy.
Crashing into our tech equipment.
So for that, he's got to go above Cody Rhodes in the best tier.
No, he's got to
get the bit. Gabriel Kidd, we now move on to.
Why did we put him on this list just for that story?
Oh, man, it's a brilliant story. I think it's fantastic. Gabriel Kidd, of course, started off life in WCPW as a massive, dirty loser.
He was a loser.
He was a loser, so he was. He lost all of his matches. Yeah. And he was a servant to Prince Amin. And Prince Amin made him wear King Ross t-shirts. So that made him even more of a loser. He then lost some more again, but he did have impressive outings in defeat against the likes of Zack Sabre Jr. And then there was a four-way ladder match where Ospreay made it was a last-minute replacement, wasn't he?
Oh, my word.
And he was amazing
in that,
yeah.
And Os cutted him off the ladder, yes.
But Gabriel Kidd was a big part of that match as well. So there were some standout performances while he was getting the big L's in the loss column.
He got some new theme music.
He did.
Because his original theme music was god-awful.
Oh my God, it's
like
the worst theme I've ever heard.
Yeah,
it was like a monotone, like horrible ringtone, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He then joined the Bullet Club. But they lost to the Prestige because, of course, they did. The Prestige were prestigious.
They kicked him out after.
Yeah, but he's the first ever British member, isn't he, of the Bullet Club?
I believe so, and that was a really nice moment, genuinely, because it was in his hometown of Nottingham, and I think they needed one more member, and they were like, someone dropped out or something. They were like, who do we put in? And I remember the decision was made backstage. Give it to Gabe. He's from Nottingham.
A hometown hero.
Get him in.
But then things turned around very quickly because out of nowhere, just about Gabriel Kidd pins Cody Rhodes to become the internet champion in a triple threat match that also involved Joe Hendry. Was that was at No Regrets, wasn't it, that one? Or was it somewhere else?
No, it was at the big No Regrets one, I think.
And then he defends that against like Zack Sabre Jr., Zach Gibson, Shaw Samuels, before he eventually goes on to lose the title to Zack Sabre Jr. After a four-month reign, I think it's got to go towards the Toppington.
I was going to say lovely. Because it's one of the better slow burn stories we did.
Was it on purpose, though?
Oh, I don't know.
Obviously, at the end it was, but did they set off at the start thing?
I think
there's the angle.
For me,
there.
It's a classic Hangman-esque case of the chase being more exciting than the aftermath. Once he'd won the belt, I wasn't too invested personally, just in his. Nothing to do with Gabe's performances, which were great. Like B. Priestley, he was one of the more improved over the course of the whole thing. And now he's like fantastic, and hopefully he's doing all right and everything. Yeah. But. Yeah, I think it's lovely for me just because of the last few months.
I'll go with that.
You sure?
Yeah, buddy. Now we move on to H.T. Drake, ring builder, prospect, legend.
Yeah.
Started off life with consecutive losses before beating Drake, I've written down here.
Oh!
What sort of a monumental tosser am I?
We'll never know who he beat.
No idea who he beat.
No.
Should I have a quick look while you speak about Drake? You got a Drake story you could tell while
I've not got any particular stories about Drake. Just want to put him over, Ross. Just want to let everyone know what a guy he is.
You know what we should plug? Triple Jump video, because he had a starring role in that.
He did. Check out our sister channel, Triple Jump, who do video gaming content. They went to learn to wrestle, because they do this thing called Prove It, where they play a game and then they try and do that in real life. They were doing a wrestling game. They went to Drake's wrestling school, Northern Grafter, which Ben accidentally called Northern Grifter. And Drake taught him how to wrestle. And you know what? It's really good. He nearly dies. But he's fine.
Oh, God, I asked him. He murdered him.
Brain Buster!
Anyway.
No, there's a crash matter.
You'll never guess who, after we've just spoken about Drake beat.
Go on. Oh,
Gabriel,
my God.
Gabriel Kidd?
Oh, Gabriel Kidd.
No.
I thought you were going to say Jay Lethal, because he was feuding with him at the start, but no.
Oh, yeah. No, they had stuff with Jay Lethal as well. Then he joined Prospect, became a luchador, and was it Lost Perspectiva? Lost Prospector.
Well, no, it was Lost Perspectiva, but I remember complaining, saying, "Nah, it should be Lost Prospectiva." Yeah. Or Lost Prospectivos, I was saying. Because I did GCSE Spanish, right? And they said, "Nah, shut up, Jack, it's Lost Perspectiva." And I was like, well, maybe this is why I'm not in the booking meetings anymore, I suppose.
Because you were being logical.
Yeah.
Then he had just lots of matches with people where he was just putting people over and make them look as good as possible. Took part in the big Rumble match where Kirby won, of course. Then he had that little feud with Angelico that we spoke about earlier. But this is one that's sort of like Dub Williams, and where if we're judging this on like overall contribution to the promotion, he'd be straight near the top. But in terms of what he did in the ring, he's a bit like Bad Bones, isn't he? Had a role, fulfilled his role very well.
Yeah, I think that's true. I just can't really emphasise how much he did.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that like he never really... Apparently, and I'm not too familiar with what went on in Defiant, but I was listening to his episode of Desert Island Graps with Tom, and he mentioned that Defiant ended just when he was getting his first push.
Oh.
I was like, oh, man.
Well, that's life.
I know. But no, I don't know where to put him, because compared to like on camera, what he did off camera was so massive, but we're not doing that.
No,
that's not the point of this.
I think similar to Bad Bones.
Do you think?
Fair
enough then.
I think you look at the people in that tier, he's had a sort of similar...
Go on then.
In the ring, this is, of course.
Fair.
Then we go on to Joe Hendry.
Local hero.
Started off as a local hero, of course, making songs about fools who had no comeback. Take that. Wah, 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 wah. Don't know why I've said that like that.
Yeah.
There we go. Lost number one contenders match against Demo before the first champion was crowned. Then he had a short-lived tag team with Joseph Connors, producing some very funny vignettes, and Joseph Connors. We all know where that one went.
That was Sam Driver's finest work, that Titantron for that song.
Yeah.
That was great.
Then we had the little feud with Prospect, which culminated with Team Hendry, which was Connors, Hendry, and who?
Grado.
Defeating Prospect.
Wow.
Takes the fall in the match where Connors becomes champion because of the stuff with Aunt Joseph Connors in the early weeks of the promotion. It made sense that Connors would snap like he did and just twat him 100 times with the chair. It was good storytelling,
you know,
I thought.
Made that storyline better was you, the fans. Because if you look on the comments of like the music video and the troll and their entrance when he's like, "I've got a new thing for you, Joseph Connors," the viewers of that video are all in the comments saying like, "Yeah, I like the entrance, but I feel like Connors was taking a little bit too much of the limelight." They're all getting on board with it, which really helped as well.
So Connors obviously pins Hendry to become the champion after just losing his bananas on him. Then he wins the Kurt Angle. This is Joe Hendry we're speaking about now. He wins the Kurt Angle Invitational.
Oh, I was scared watching that match. Because we knew we wanted Hendry to win it, and he was doing lots of teasy, "Oh, I'm going to get eliminated." Yes, and I thought, "Oh, there's a lot of baby oil on those ropes," but he was fine.
Because EC3 was in the match. Then we go on to Refuse to Lose!
Go on.
Where he loses to Kurt Angle.
Is that your favourite of all the pay-per-view
themes? Oh, man, what a song that is. it's the Adam Pacitti's theme.
Yeah, his theme.
Never fails to make me smile because
Are
he just
you ready?
Fit his character so well.
Boom!
He comes out in his brown trousers and his
get up,
sweatshirt
get up.
Like an old man.
Yeah.
And he loses the title shot to Connors at True Legacy. He's the man who nearly could at this stage, as Joe Hendry, as the local hero. He loses again just by that much in the blue bar steel cage where Galloway becomes the champion. Then he cuts about a promo about people don't respect him, him and the sport, and this is an exit wounds, this and the prestige of formed. We don't do this for the money. We don't do this for the fame. We do this for the prestige. Bah! Oh, yeah, it was that one.
Yeah.
He had a good theme tune for that as well, didn't he?
I say it's you. Yes, prestigious. Yeah, what a voice on him. You've got to give it up to him.
It's sick how some people have everything in life.
He's good at lots of things, aren't
he? Yeah. We're off to the races
ugly,
now.
Ugly, though. That's fine.
Small dick. Then we're off to the races now with Joe Hendry and WCPW, because he wins the championship by stopping Kirby one day after Kirby won that Battle Royal.
That was
concussions.
Contentious. Yeah, I guess so. But should they have stopped the match, Ross? Well, that's the question the fans are all asking.
The referee's job is to keep the people safe. Isn't
You're right, that is very
true. He had to wave it off because Kirby was about to get killed by Joe Hendry in a chair. He was sort of wrapped up in the ropes, wasn't he?
Yes.
And about to die.
I think so.
And then he defeated Jack Swagger in Newcastle upon Tyne.
Double ankle lock.
A double ankle lock, yeah. Not just one ankle, two of them.
The crowd were quite burnt out from Prince Amin versus Brandy Rhodes at that point.
Obviously. And then we just get, the end of the Pro Wrestling World Cup was obviously ruined by Joe Hendry and the prestige because they battered the trophy.
They smashed up the trophy.
I can't believe they would do that, eh?
I know.
Set of arseholes. What's wrong with them, eh? And then we're sort of, that's it for the WCPW portion, I think.
Yeah, but...
It's top tier.
Top tier. I've got to put him top tier. It's Joe Hendry.
It's Joe Hendry.
He was the first time that I ever saw a wrestler, because he was like one of the early ones who came to the office, like him, Damo, and Rampage. And he was the first one who I saw, because Damo was a bit more of a silent character, but Henry cut a promo in the office, and I remember seeing him just turn it on. Yeah. And I was like, it was like I was with The Rock. I was like, hang on, wrestlers do this. Like, seeing it, like, close up in person was a really weird experience.
Yeah, and many people have told me I did my best work with Joe Hendry on camera.
Nice.
When he used to pick me up and show my arse crack.
For a fallaway slam, I remember that. Yeah, it was good.
What a strong man. And I say a strong man because I was like, I remember saying to him, such a stupid thing in hindsight, but I was like, I always think a full Nelson never looks like it hurts.
Oh, no.
And he was like, oh, really? And he was like, and he barely went, with the lock, and I was like, oh my god, I'm about to have my shoulders ripped off. But there we go. Joe Hendry, top tier, and deservedly so. War Machine rules are safe and fun, despite both men weighing one metric ton.
Do you know what it is? There's only one rule in War Machine rules. Wait, hang on, what was the thing?
War Machine rules are safe and fun.
That's not what it was.
Despite both men weighing one metric ton.
It was War Machine rules. There's only one rule in War Machine rules, and that is, there are no rules.
It took ages to get there, but we're finally there. There are no rules.
Go on,
what were you going to say?
They had a series of non-DQ matches.
They did. Massive no-DQ matches. It was horrible. I say horrible to watch, but in the nicest possible way. If you like violence, you like War Machine back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
These Viking Raiders, right?
Yeah.
Makes you sick to see them if you knew what War Machine were all about back in the day.
Yeah.
But you're thinking to yourself, Ross, they were just over for a couple of appearances, weren't they? Oh, no, dear viewer. These were the bloody champions for a while.
Yes.
They defeated the Kings of the North, Slater and Moose. They were a tag team for a while. Lethal and Mark Briscoe, Lucky Kid and Tarkan Aslan.
What?
And on top
don't
of that,
don't laugh at Lucky Kid and Tarkan. Don't shove them in there as a joke. Those German lads were lovely lads, and I really enjoyed them.
They
were
class.
That's why I'm so annoyed, because they were great backstage. I thought they were lovely, lovely lads.
And on top of all those tag teams that they beat the Young Bucks. Of course, they took the tag team championships off the Swords of Essex. The injury angle in the match, well, it's not even an angle, was it? Someone got legitimately messed up, but the match was still absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
And then they just went on this tear of all these matches before they eventually lost the titles after 3 months.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, really good.
I think, I remember, but then, though, it was really good, and I'm not trying to put a dampener on it, but then in NXT, I remember watching them having these arguable five-star matches in the tag division, it opening the show and stuff, and I remember thinking...
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Well, why didn't we ever have any normal matches with them? Because the normal matches
I'll
were
tell
even
you
better.
Why, Jack. Because no, War Machine no. rules are no. safe and fun, despite both men weighing one metric ton.
I'm thinking lovely, lovely, lovely.
Yeah, I'll go there.
Yeah.
Just because of length. The long,
all right.
The length of their stay in the promotion.
Oh, yes.
I think that's what keeps them out
if
the top
tier. If
they've
been around from the start, then they're looking at top tier, possibly.
There's not. Oh, well, we've put Bully Ray in the top, haven't we?
Yeah, we've put
but
Bully
he
Ray
was in the
top.
Angle when
no,
the,
he was
the very fate of the company was
he
in his
was
hands.
In huge angles, yeah.
Johnny Moss, we now move on to now, who obviously a lot of people will know for his time in WCPW for the tag team.
Coaching Tyson Fury. Sorry, I've what? Skipped way ahead there.
Oh, oh yeah, he did.
Fury, yeah.
He is a coach now, of course, at the Performance Centre.
Yeah, yeah.
He fell off a boat. Or was it a jet ski very recently on Finn Balor's Twitter, I saw?
Did he?
They have lots of fun,
oh,
the lads do. But obviously, back in the day in WCPW, he was in a tag team with Liam Slater.
Yes. He's the veteran and the upstart.
The big man and the little man.
How can they coexist? But they did coexist. They did.
They complemented each other very, very well indeed. In the tag team mixer at the start of the company, having big matches against Prospect, the Prospect's Luchador cousins, Mustache Mountain and the like, way back in the early days of WCPW. Mm. Then, of course, the WCPW had the tag team tournament with the brand new, wonderfully designed, by the way. I thought those straps were lovely.
Yeah.
They were basically
the white belts.
Yeah, the white belts with the gold plates.
Gorgeous belts.
Very nice indeed. And, of course, They won, so they did, and became the first ever champions of the tag team division in WCPW.
I thought they were good in that role as well, really good.
Yeah. You didn't expect it, did you? Because you're thinking, oh, who the hell are these?
Well, I think we were hoping that a lot of veteran live wrestling fans in the UK would have, because Johnny Moss had been around forever,
yeah.
And then Liam was an up-and-comer. He'd had a back, well, we'll talk about Liam in a second anyway, so yeah. I'll leave that. But no, it was really good. They were a crucial part of that ladder match that we talked about with the big Oss cutter off the ladder, yeah. As well. Very good.
Which
stuff.
Where Moss got injured, by the way. He had to go with that one a bit early after he got knocked over the top rope via a ladder shot and got his arm like caught on the ropes.
Do you know
I can never
was?
Work out if it was real or not.
I know the answer.
Is it real?
It wasn't real.
Oh my
and
God.
And I know this because, well, first of all, it kind of fed into the story of the match because Slater had the... Right, I was sat with our physio watching the match from the stands. And then I went to her because she was like talking to someone else. I was like, hang on, Moss is injured. I saw him like on the ramp, like, oh, and then she was like, oh no, and ran off. And then after she'd gone, I saw Liam go over to him and he was giving him the whole like Lion King speech or whatever, like being like, you've got to do this now on your own. And I thought, it's a work.
Oh.
And then she came back up and called me an idiot and went, it was a work. And I was like, I've guessed
you
it was a work.
You made
it
run all that way.
I know.
You are so.
Never mind.
But after 74 days, they lost the tag team championships in that fatal four-way with the injury angle that we now know wasn't even real. Two singles matches for Johnny Moss and WCPW. The first was against Trent Seven Unloaded in that tiny little room in Northumbria University.
Yes.
Remember? And they just chopped the bejesus out of each other.
Yes, that was a great
gnarly
yeah,
to watch.
That was fantastic.
And the second was it refuse to lose!
I refuse to lose.
Well, he lost to his tag team partner.
Trying to work out if that's hurting you there.
Oh, well, I'm hard as hell, mate.
Right,
he lost to Liam Slater. It refused to lose 2017.
Johnny Moss lost to Liam Slater.
But I think refused to lose is where they brought in Stu Bennett, didn't they? And, this is after we were gone, but I thought I'd throw it in there.
Fair enough.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, Johnny Moss.
Johnny Moss is lovely, lovely, lovely for me.
Yeah.
Yes. And one of the best hot tags in WCPW. When Slater made that tag to him, oh, lads were going to get chucked around, Ross.
And there was topes over the top rope.
Oh, God, he could do that as well.
Right.
Oh,
is that a tope? I always get mixed
I'm
up with
sure.
topes.
Which one are you describing here?
Two hands on the top rope.
Ooh.
Feet over your head.
Whee. Oh, I'm not sure. Is that a Toby Con Hilo? I'm not
Toby
sure.
Con Hilo.
I don't know.
Liam Slater now. Just remember all the things I've just said about Johnny Moss there in the tag team. But also on top of that, he had singles matches. Lost to Tyler Bate in what was a great technical match. Defeated Zack Sabre Jr. Unloaded, so he did.
Yep.
The loss to Cody with the Internet Championship on the line. And of course, the win over Johnny Moss. It refused to lose in 2017.
I remember a charming bit of the end of that match with Cody Rhodes.
Do you?
Cody at the end is doing the gracious winner thing. He's like, give it up for this guy. Goes over and gives him the slow offer of a wrestling handshake. Liam Slater goes, no, too sweet, me.
So cool.
Fantastic. I hope it wasn't planned. I hope you just tried to make him laugh. Liam Slater is a fantastic, underrated wrestler in the UK. So he's now getting his due. Because he's doing fantastic things in North Wrestling as well.
I see him bloody on Twitter all the time.
He gives it his all. He really does. I'm a big fan of Liam's. I think he's fantastic.
Yeah. He was like, as we say, they complement each other very well because Moss was just the muscle, but then Liam would do all these like world of sport little origami with humans.
Yes.
So I reckon similar level. Got to be on it.
I think so as well. I agree.
If you had to put one above the other in that lovely, lovely tier, who are you putting above?
Just for those singles matches, I'll put Liam ahead. Because he had the one with Tyler Bate, I'd forgotten until you mentioned there. It was like a world of sport match.
Yeah.
Like an 80s UK style. Yeah. Yeah. Very good.
Joseph Connors.
Top tier. I don't know why I've already go for it.
It's top tier. You're just saying that he's one of the four pillars of WCPW.
The four heavenly pillars.
He went from being the butt of the joke to Gollum with the title in very quick order indeed. Mm. Of course, he would, because that was the brilliant thing with the storytelling between him and Hendry and Connors snapping with the chair. But also, it was the shock of it, because you look at that four, you got Connors, you got Hendry, you got Rampage, you got Damo. Not many people are picking
he
Connors on
it. He would have been
it.
My last pick had I not been privy to the booking decisions.
Defences against the likes of Galloway, where we mentioned with the horrible injury. Martin Kirby, Cody Rhodes, Joe Hendry. And of course, he loses the title in the Blue Bar Cage, where Galloway picks it up. Fails to regain it in a three-way with Galloway and Hendry once again. But then he sort of goes away, because there was a weird trend at the start of WCPW. And I personally believe it was circumstantial. I don't think it was by design at all, where WWE NXT UK kept signing every single champion in the early stages.
Yeah.
Remember?
Do you think it was on purpose?
No, not at all.
Oh, you think it was accidental?
Circumstantial.
Sorry, yes, yeah. Circumstantial, right, okay.
But just a coinky
thing. People did talk about it, though, didn't they, in the comments and that? Yeah. Remember that, yeah. Anyway.
In the bubble, aren't we? But then he makes the big return. I think they just landed a little favour, didn't they? Just said, oh, we're struggling a bit here. We need a semi... Well, no, not a semi-final. Yeah, we just need a UK representative in the Pro Wrestling World
that
Cup.
That return was one of my favourite pops in all of WCPW history.
In terms of cultaholic canon pops, if that makes any sense, which one was it most similar to? A Bobby Lashley pop? And Linda McMahon
pop? It felt a bit more urgent than a Bobby Lashley pop, because isn't the Bobby Lashley pop the one where it's like, whoa! But Lashley wasn't coming out to fight, was he? He was just kind of sauntering his way to the ring, whereas Connors was there to batter folk.
Yeah.
So I don't know what kind of pop it was. Yeah, the Linda McMahon pop.
We'll go Linda McMahon.
It was the Linda McMahon pop.
Linda McMahon and Joseph Connors, two peas in a pod. Yeah. He got the semi-finals of the World Cup, so he did Joseph
one
Connors.
One more day.
For losing to Kushida. I remember the angle they did on the little concert stage at the McMillan event.
Yes,
thing.
In Nottingham. I was there. I saw it live.
Was your heart beating?
Yeah, it was. Right. Okay, it wasn't the best part of their feud, because Henry's there to introduce a band, right? But you'll never guess which band it is.
Is it Hendry's band?
It's not. It's the band that played Joseph Connors' theme tune.
Shattered Skies?
Why would you do that, Joe?
Is it Shattered Skies?
Why? Yeah, it is Shattered Skies.
Oh, wow.
They were lovely lads, by the way.
How did I remember that for some?
You know what? I'm not a big metal boy, and they all laughed at me, because I went, oh, you must be Sleeping with Sirens, which are like a huge metal band, apparently.
Oh.
And they went, no, we wish. We're Shattered Skies. I was like, sorry, Shattered Skies.
The song's called 15 Minutes, if you want to hear it, by Shattered Skies.
So, yeah, anyway, Henry's introducing them and he goes, ladies and gentlemen, Shattered Sky. And then he gets clocked from behind by Joseph Connors, who beats him up. And in this room, there's obviously not many wrestling fans, let alone WCW.
Oh,
it's not an event that's got anything to do with wrestling. Mm. So it's just met with, like, confusion.
Yeah.
And I was hoping people would be legitimately terrified, but everyone kind of just was like, oh.
Shouldn't security get over there?
Yeah. And then, as he's beating him up, the band kicks in and starts playing his theme. Phenomenal.
Just like New Jack. So where we got Connors is in the top.
I'll put him in top tier, yeah.
Kaylee Ray we move on to now, of course, Amber Fire in NXT 2.0.
Alba Fire.
What did I say?
Amber.
Oh, well, I guess it's the colour, isn't it? It lost the debut match to the champion, Bea Priestley, at the time, then lost to Viper. A chain reaction.
Mm.
There were some crap names, wasn't there, for some pay-per-views.
Wounds was my favourite one.
I remember me and Adam tried to sing Chain Reaction for a WTF intro, and we couldn't do it.
Wasn't Diana Ross?
Props to Diana Ross, because that's a tongue twister. Mm. No wonder she was miming at the Jubilee.
Oh.
Hey, I saw you, Diana. Huh? Oh. I'll take you. She then beat Viper. A WCPW fight back!
Fight back
with a dick in the ass. I used to think that,
oh, that
sounded
song
like,
sounded like that.
Fight back with a dick in the ass.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
Built to destroy. She then beats Viper, who was standing in for Bea Priestley, who was injured. Viper, of course, way back in the day. Doudrop, in case you don't know.
No,
in the WWE,
she deserves better than Doudrop.
I know she does. She was Bea Priestley's, like, muscle, her diesel,
back in
the day. Bea was injured, so Viper stepped in for her, but then Kaylee Ray beat Viper to become the champion.
Kaylee Flippin' Ray.
Aye, she got involved with her crutch, so she did there, the old Bea Priestley.
Yeah.
But I don't know where we go with this one.
I'm not sure, because she was always popular, but she'd already made a name for herself in ICW. She was well known. But she wasn't as central a part, I don't think, as some others. But I think she probably deserves to be in All Right.
I'll go All Right.
Yeah.
So if Bea Priestley's in there, I think Kaylee Ray being on a similar level is
fair. That's
enough.
Fair to say, yeah.
Kurt Angle, who of course invented the Kurt Angle Invitational Rumble. He was sat there at home one night thinking, oh, I'd love to wrestle in the UK. Oh no, I don't have an opponent. Let me invent the Kurt Angle Invitational Rumble to get myself an opponent.
Yeah, he invented that.
He did, yes. And of course, at Refuse to Lose, he defeated Joe Hendry in that match there. Then of course, he had two more matches in WCPW. One was against Cody Rhodes. A True Legacy, where he won, of course, in a match with cartwheels. Yes. And then the other one was against Alberto El Patron.
Oh,
it's Destiny!
Yeah. Destiny. Angle versus Cody won match of the year.
Did it?
For our promotion.
Oh, the one with the cage.
Yes. No, that was in a different promotion.
Oh, was it?
The one with the cartwheels.
Oh, right, the actual WCPW
The WCPW one won our own internal fan vote award.
I thought you meant like a big thing.
I was aghast because I thought one of the WCPW originals was going to win that award. And Angle, and they had that match, Angle and Cody, and that won the award. And I thought, that's just because two massive names.
And everyone had a good time.
It was a great match. Yeah. But I remember I had to go around filming promos backstage where I presented them with the trophies, but it was just the same trophy each time. and then Cody said in his promo, I think he was trying to make me laugh, he was like, I'll treasure this trophy forever, blah, blah, blah. And then afterwards, obviously, just gives it straight back. So I went over to him and gave it back to him in the locker room to try and par him off. And I don't know if he took kindly to it. Maybe we had like a feud. Maybe he did.
No,
no.
This is the way we should mention why Cody Rhodes hates you, because there's a certain locker room happening with you and Kurt Angle. But Kurt Angle wasn't there. It wasn't like a fight or anything. Basically,
I got hit with a crossroads into an ankle lock.
Yeah, so he did that. But no, Kurt Angle had a seat in a locker room which Jack sat in. And then when Kurt Angle came back in the locker room, Jack didn't stand up.
I didn't know that was Kurt Angle's seat. I would have, if Kurt Angle had come over and gone, I won the Olympics with the broken freaking neck, can you move
Kurt
on?
Kurt Angle, after wrestling for half an hour, came in crippled, his arm hanging off, he couldn't stand up straight, yet Jack didn't stand up.
I don't even remember the incident. I don't remember Kurt being in the room. Because you know, obviously, if a wrestler is exhausted in that, especially one who's been through as much as Kurt Angle, I'd like to think I would go, would you like my seat, Kurt?
Well, I don't think you do in
practice.
Well,
apparently I didn't, but I must have been like talking to someone or just not noticed. But what that story taught me, and then Cody made a joke of it on Twitter, and it was funny, right? It was. But it just showed me, it was an education in how easy it is to get heat. If Cody had been an actual arsehole, he could have actually had heat with me then, couldn't he?
Well, I thought it was the bit where he like dropped down Kurt and give me 20, where things got a bit too much.
What?
Well, you're like, Kurt, get down there, give me 20. Chop, chop, Kurt.
You're my young boy, Kurt. You're my
get
young
my
lion.
Luggage. I am Jack. But where are we now? We've got that.
Oh, hi, Kurt Angle. Is he the best or is he lovely?
I'd go lovely. I don't think he did as much as the likes of Cody, who came over.
Not quite as central as Cody, your bullies, your Codys, your Drews.
He was a proper like attraction.
But he was a good one.
Yeah.
He was a good one. And I enjoyed his match with Henry especially.
Yeah.
That was great.
Next up we have what in my opinion was the heart and the soul.
Ross.
WCPW.
I've already put him in the top tier.
Oh my God, he's jumped
in there
early.
Straight away.
Bonked early. I don't know why. I do it every time, don't I? I always get dirty anyway. Yeah. Weird start to his WCPW career, this unnamed man. He lost a match and had to wear a dress because he lost that match. But then after that, we're off to the races because he lost more matches. But then he had that shocking win over Will Ospreay in the O2 Academy in Newcastle upon Tyne, which I went radio rental for in the crowd because this was my favourite superstar in the early days of WCPW. And also, Will Ospreay made that 10 times better because he got on the ramp and cut a promo about how underappreciated man is and how good he is.
It was like Rocky IV, Ross.
I'll take your word for it, because I've still not seen it.
Where Rocky goes to Russia and fights Ivan Drago, right?
So Ospreay's Drago.
No. Oh. Yes. Sorry. Ospreay's Drago. Newcastle is Russia.
Russia.
Because everyone loves Ospreay, right? And then Kirby's there and he's Yorkshire. Very proudly Yorkshire.
Thirsk, North Yorkshire.
And there's a small group, I've told this story before, there's a small group of fans from Yorkshire who are chanting for Kirby, but everyone else is like, let's go Ospreay. And slowly as the match goes on, and he's kicking out of more, and he's reversing stuff, because we all like him because he's funny, but it turns out Kirby's actually really good as well. He's doing all this stuff, and then he wins. And by the time he's won, like in Rocky IV, he's made Russia into Americans. They all love him, and Kirby made us all Yorkshiremen for one night only.
There we go.
Yes.
That's a fitting description.
That's,
there.
I think, my favourite match in WCPW.
Oh,
history.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, it was class.
Refused to lose, then go on to where, of course, he gets pushed off the rope by a lanky dickhead and then loses the match to Connors with the championship on the line.
Yes.
Then we go back to Ospreay because we have a little series of matches, including that 2 out of 3 falls match, excuse me. I think I was in Nottingham, which I watched at ringside, but like on the ground level, back of the room,
yeah,
on the
yeah,
floor,
right,
not at ringside at all, Ross, you dickhead. And Ospreay's on the top rope. Sorry, Kirby's on the top rope, and Ospreay goes for this Hurricane Rana off the top rope, and I thought they were going to die.
Oh, really?
You know when you see something in person for the first time, yeah. just the sheer height of what they were doing, yeah. the moves at, incredible stuff. Then we get on to, obviously, the two-on-three match where he becomes the WCPW general manager, and all the good stuff that happened in the office that fun day.
Yeah, we shot a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we shot a lot of stuff.
We built an armchair out of pink magazines for him. That took a while.
No one would buy them. Kirby Mania, of course.
That was
came
a cruel laugh for me. I was in that magazine. I've written articles.
Then we go to Kirby Mania, of course, the pay-per-view he put on because he was the general manager. Pink balloons and everything.
Yes.
In a really, really cold building in Liverpool. I can't believe how cold
that
was.
Liverpool Olympia.
Yeah.
Freezing.
Then, of course, well, I've mentioned down here as well, the karaoke.
Fans in gloves and hats. Sorry, the karaoke, yes.
Yeah, the karaoke where he took the show hostage, basically, and just said, oh, I'm not going to go anywhere until we... What was it? Something to do with Adam, obviously, but...
Yeah, Adam wasn't going to give him some sort of rematch, maybe, or something like that. So he handcuffed himself to the ring post and took over the show. And I remember being backstage and saying, what's going on at the minute in the ring? And they were like, oh, it's Kirby doing his karaoke bit. And I was like, oh, I'll come back in like 5 minutes because I needed to like sort something out. And 5 minutes passed. I was amazed how long that karaoke song
Living on a Prayer.
For.
I remember he did a fantastic rendition
of.
I can't remember anything else, but there we go. And then he was in a 7-man elimination match at Bulletproof. Another fantastic
That was the Nottingham one.
A
thing.
Was it?
Or was it Manchester?
Maybe Manchester. Delete was Nottingham, wasn't it? The Matt Hardy one.
Fair.
What are you like? Getting WCPW show names wrong. A couple more wins, and he wins the big one in that Royal Rumble match with the championship on the line. Finally hitting, for, I think, a Shootington for the first time ever in his career. He'd always missed the Zoidberg elbow. People roll out the way, but finally hits it and wins the big one. Then, of course, as we mentioned earlier, the next night he loses to Hendry via referee stoppage and drops the title. Loses again at Hendry Mania to Joe Hendry. I remember that, Hendry Mania.
I do remember Hendry Mania.
I'd stop going
by this
there. Point.
Yeah. I wasn't at Hendry Mania, I don't think.
Then he wins a Kiss My Arse match as well. So a lot of stuff happened with Martin Kirby. Mm. Straight in the top. If I was deciding who was at the top of the top, I would put Martin Kirby there.
Right,
but that's
yeah,
up to you at
sense.
The end of the video. Find out who gets there in a little tickle. Next up, we move on to Matt Hardy, who I am shocked he came to WCPW after people like this person here slandered the Delete Universe stuff on Impact back in the day.
Eh? Oh, I was really immature and
disgusting.
I just didn't know how to have fun with what I was watching in wrestling.
He fought a kangaroo. What was not to like about fighting a kangaroo?
In hindsight, totally, but I don't know what I was thinking.
I wish I was on that couch that day. There you go. The debut match was at Delete WCPW, an event named after him, where he lost to Bully Ray in just under 8 minutes, which sounds really underwhelming when you've thrown the people over there, made the event after him.
Yeah.
Sounds a bit weird.
He did win them all back after with a little help from me.
God, you made him look so strong.
I did. No, he bit my ear with the fake blood and that. And just, if I had a personal ranking, I'd always have him in the top tier because he was so nice, even after I'd been so critical of him. And, but I don't know if he's top, because he was there for a short amount of time.
He was, obviously. If we put Bully Ray, maybe we do need to put Matt Hardy on top, because he did some wonderful vignettes, I remember, with Martin Kirby as well. He did a thing for WTF Moments as well, where I got to hug him. What a personal highlight that was in
what
my
a privilege.
Life. Obviously, I mentioned that the promos with Kirby were wonderful as well. He was in the match, the shape, the very future of the company.
I remember thinking when he was cutting those promos with Kirby, is Martin a name that's crossed over to America? Because it sounded weird hearing Martin in an American.
He used to say like Martin, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, no, he was doing his weird accents at the time.
Martin.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But they're doing it on the streets of Newcastle in the night. And there's revelers around him everywhere.
That's world famous. That's Matt Hardy from the Attitude Era there. I thought he'd get mobbed.
The Mile Castle just down the road, and he's screaming, ah, Martin. Okay, well, it was fantastic. I would put him in the top, me, you know.
Go on then.
If
Go
Bully
on.
Ray's in the top, let's remove Bully Ray down with Matt Hardy.
Nah, I think
if you're
right.
putting Bully,
no,
you have
I
to put
right.
Matt Hardy at the same level.
Get in. What are you doing, Moose? Yeah. Oh, is that who's next? I didn't know what you were. Oh.
It's
oh,
the man who
Moose.
Ruined. The man who ruined so many shows just by turning up. It's the man who lighted a fire between myself and Penny on Cultaholic's YouTube channel. It's the man who lost more than he won in WCPW.
Did he?
Yeah, 2 wins and 4
wow.
defeats. The man who teamed with Liam Slater in a losing effort against War Machine for the Tag Team Championships. But most importantly, it's the man who ruined every single show he was at because everybody
Moose.
Just did that all night long.
Moose, for everything. For near falls, for the ref count to 10, for a count out. For everything, the Moose chant from the you need to put him on later on in the show.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
and not advertising.
Yeah, not advertising. He did come out unadvertised once.
He just turned up, didn't he? He was in the area or something.
I think he had a layover. He was flying back from somewhere, and he was in Manchester for a couple of days. Mm-hmm. So he just came to our show, not in the crowd, like backstage. He wasn't just watching. And then I remember someone being like, do you want to do a run-in at the end in the dark segment? He was like, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
And they went ballistic for him.
Moose. I reckon, all right, mate, if I'm going to put Moose in the stadium.
After all that.
After all that, yeah. He only had six matches.
He drank trillions dry, trillions bar in Newcastle. what a weird night that was.
What else happened, Jack?
I can't remember. Is there something?
I don't know. Just said it was a weird night.
Yeah, one of the... Because we had a show and then everyone, and us and the fans and the wrestlers and everyone, all went out in trillions after in Newcastle, which is like a metal bar. And... but there was Moose chance. I feel bad for anyone who was just there for a quiet night. One
fan, why would you go to a metal bar for a quiet night?
One fan at the bar challenged EC3 to a grapple. Mm. I thought, that's a bad idea.
Yeah.
And he lost.
Yeah, obviously. So
it was a weird one. That was a weird... Prince of Meme was just milling about. It was a great night, though. That's weird.
Is that it?
Yep.
Nixon
Newell. Honestly, it sounds dodgy. I can't actually think of anything else that happened.
Nixon Newell now, the Bret Hart of the women's division, I would say.
If B's the Shawn Michaels, she's the Bret Hart, yeah.
The early feud with B Priestley was mentioned earlier over the women's champion. She became the first ever women's champion because she is the best, I've written down here.
Yeah,
she was the best back then, I thought. The next sizable feud she had was with Kimberly, a street fight with Melina as the special guest ref big blow off, I guess. And then we're back to B Priestley, where eventually she dropped the WCPW women's championship before jetting off to the World Wrestling Federation. So it felt like she was there for ages, but she wasn't really.
It does. I've noticed when we've been talking about this that the early few shows, up to maybe Refuse to Lose, from the start of it to Refuse to Lose, feels like a year. And then the rest of it also feels like a year.
Mm.
But that was only a few months.
Yeah.
So strange. Anyway.
Where's B? I reckon Nixon is on a similar level to B. I reckon B's been done hard
there. I think we've done B a bit down there. Let's move her up there. And let's put Nixon there as well.
That looks better.
It's all a bit bittersweet how it ended with Nixon in WWE, isn't it? But I do think at least she got to be in a Royal Rumble, that sort of stuff. But
she got to do stuff with Triple H.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels. I'm just trying to look at positives there.
I know, she deserved more in WWE.
She needed more of a carrot, didn't she? Why didn't
they
give her a carrot?
They never gave her one, yeah.
No, weird.
West Country there. They never gave her one.
Pete Dunne, straight from the West Country. Loves tractors, so he does. He was dotted around in random... I don't know. He was dotted around in random starts at the random spots at the start of his WCPW career because people who were in positions of power back then clearly didn't realise what they had on their hands with Pete Dunne.
Which is weird because we did a show... Where it must have been, what was the show we did where press turned up? Was it the World Cup? Press turned up, like wrestling.
Oh, God, it would be.
The World Cup show, right?
Had like a proper press conference.
Because one of our colleagues in the office, but who didn't really know that much about wrestling, asked me, they were helping sort out like the scheduling. They were basically like the media coordinator person. And they were going, why, so apart from like Ospreay and maybe like someone else we had, like another big name we had there, they've said Pete Dunne is the third most in high demand for these interviews. We're not really doing anything with him. Why? And I was I don't know why we're not doing anything with him. I didn't have an answer because I was like, I don't know, he's really good and he's getting very popular,
yeah.
So it was strange.
It was strange, but he eventually ended up in the Kurt Angle Invitational Rumble, which of course he didn't win. There was an entertaining five-way.
I can't remember anything he did. I remember that five-way.
Because remember the big, long submission snake
thing. The chain
thing,
of submissions, yes.
That Kirby won that match, but that was unloaded. Single losses then again to Kirby and to Hendry, once again unloaded. Then he was put into a tag team. One challenge for the Internet Championship. Then he was off to the UK and we never ever heard from him again.
He is perhaps the weirdest booking we've ever done for anyone.
The most underutilised, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
By a country mile. That,
I was going to put him in Bearable, but I don't know if I've got the balls to do it.
How old is he now? Because I want to know this, right? How old was he in 2016?
And he was already that good, or that advanced.
He's 28 now, so he was like 23. Back in 26 in the summer of 2016 when he was used. That's incredible, that. Anyway, it can't be any much higher, can it?
It's just Bearable, but that's nothing on him.
It's just such
a weird way he was used, yeah.
Now, anything that isn't... It's anything but Bearable is Prince Amin, who got himself a servant early in WCPW in the form of Gabriel Kidd, but also because Prince Amin was good at the wrestling and really rich as well, right?
Right.
And he also really liked my old thing from back in the day because he used to wear T-shirts out to the ring.
He would wear your T-shirts all the time.
I just didn't want to be a part of the show.
No, they were loving it.
They were. Then himself and Gabriel Kidd went from, well... Prince Amin was obviously a very bad baddie, but then, and Gabriel Kidd was like a very good goodie, but then they both turned into very good goodies and everyone
softened,
loved them,
didn't it? Yeah. They gained each other's respect.
Cause also, because Prince Amin is just so bloody entertaining, he just turned himself babyface.
Essentially, he did, basically. Like, you can't hate him, and if you know him in person as well, he's every bit as lovely. He's not a lovely character, obviously. I shouldn't compare him to his character. He's a lovely, hilarious man.
Yeah,
pulled a rib on me when we first met.
How?
We'd got. You remember the bake? The bake on the bike around about.
The bake on bike around.
The curry,
no, I don't.
Like the. It's like they do.
Oh, like the restaurant.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Curries and stuff. It's delicious. We got all them in for the lads after the tapings once. One of the really early tapings. And Amin's like sat there like with some rice and stuff, but he's kind of just picking out of his hands. I was like, mate, I'll go and get you a knife and fork if you want. There's some over there. And he was like, well, that's racist. This is my culture. And I was like, I'm so sorry. And then he went, no, I'm just messing with you. I was like, no. Yeah, no.
Got him.
And it was all uphill from there. What a guy.
Yeah, so he did all that in WCPW.
Is he getting to the upper reaches of this list based on being a great bloke? Is that what's happening here?
I mean, he's one of those ones.
He's
like,
crazy.
You know, he filled his role, but he also was a very nice man backstage.
The match
and
with
also,
Brandy.
If you look at the picture there, he is a Ring of Honor.
Whoa, what a picture.
Ring of Honor television champion, and is it an IWGP one?
It was the junior heavyweight. It was junior Kushida's, heavyweight. I think. It was Kushida's.
Oh, no, it's Prince Amin's.
Oh, sorry, Prince Amin's.
He was holding those championships
junior
at the
heavyweight
same time,
belt, yeah.
So he went on to bigger and better things, obviously, after his stint in WCPW, but he's got to go.
Lovely.
Yeah.
I'm putting him lovely.
If who's in there? Is Bad Bones? Oh, no, Bad Bones is the one below. I'd put Prince Amin above Bad Bones in the WCPW.
Do you remember that WrestleMania pre-show cruiserweight match where it's Ali versus Cedric Alexander and Mustafa Ali?
Where the hell is this going?
And they're going, heart, soul, heart, because one of them was the heart and one was the soul of 205 Live. If Martin Kirby is the soul of WCBW, Prince Amin is the heart of
the
WCBW.
The beating heart.
Yes, absolutely.
Everlasting, just like Her Royal Highness, Queen Elizabeth II. That made me think of Alan Titchmarsh going like...
his speech.
For 70 years, there's promo. Been a heartbeat of Britain that's been beating all of the time. And it's hers over there.
Yeah.
And then she's like, so what? Ruin the moment. Yeah. Anyway, Prince Amin, fantastic. Rampage, which is not the show on a Friday night. It's an actual wrestler, which some people might not be... Well, that's a... What a load of bollocks I've just said there. I'm going to stop myself from saying
that. No,
everyone knows who Rampage is. Involved in the first ever title match, of course, after beating Hendry. Then, of course, we had the double turn where he didn't like you anymore, did he? Eh?
No, it was Damon who didn't like me.
Oh, he did like me. Well, he didn't care, did he?
Ships in the night, me and Rampage. Damon punched me. Rampage, nothing.
He was also there.
He did batter Pacitti, though.
Yeah.
That was good.
He knocked his glasses off, didn't he?
Yeah,
broke them.
Yeah, it was great.
Look at Pacitti doing all that for the business.
He was like the Goldberg, the Austin of WCBW.
He was very good. He was one of those ones that like not many others could match his intensity.
Hard, hard, scary man.
Yeah, but also very nice. He was the one I was most intimidated about meeting, but then we went to WrestleMania, and obviously had the show over there. And I went around WrestleMania Access with Rampage Brown and a few others. It's just a nice
camera or just...
Walking around, he's just a very nice man.
Oh, I wish
commandeered a bus.
I wish I got to hang out with Rampage more. Sorry.
Honestly, we were walking all like maybe a group of 15 people, maybe me and a couple of the YouTube lads and then all the wrestlers walking, and then this big red bus. I don't know if it was on for the event or whatnot.
What time of day was this?
Afternoon. This big red bus just stopped at the side of the road, and we all got on the bus.
Right.
I don't know if we were taking a chance, but I was like, oh, I'm with Rampage Brown here.
You just all got on it?
We just all got on it, and then it took us to Access. It was amazing. Just at the side of the road, we were just walking there.
Did you know that it was going to Access?
No.
I didn't end up anywhere.
But I was with Rampage, it would have been fine.
Fair enough.
Then, of course...
He's a very safe man. He's a safe pair of hands.
Honestly,
fills you with that confidence.
I would love to be held in his arms because I would never ever feel more safe.
I think he couldn't fit on our physio's bench for massages and that sort of stuff after the matches, so he had to lie on the floor because he's just so thick.
He is a
and
girthy
muscular
boy.
Yeah.
Right, he was involved in the title change where Connors won the belt. He was the one who, I think he delivered the suplex to Big Damo on the ramp, which made him stacked. Shut up, Ross. Then he was involved in the Kurt Angle Invitational. Hardcore matches were the order of the day for a long time when it came to Rampage and WCPW and a best of seven series. He also hates musical chairs. State of emergency, he challenged Drew Galloway for the title, but he lost the Built to Destroy. He and unsuccessfully challenged Hendry for the title, and then he had a big beef boy match against Tomohiro Ishii at the Pro Wrestling World Cup, and that just about sums up Rampage's WCPW career.
He went through a weird phase of like towards the end of a show, he'd come and find me when I'm milling about backstage, and he'd be like, after my match, come out and give me a stunner. And I always said no. And he was like, you're in Newcastle. One time he was like, you're in Newcastle, you're in your hometown, they'll love it. And I was like, first of all, I don't know if they will. And also, I don't trust you.
I was going to say,
I'd go for it, and he'd just go, he'd grab my leg or something, and I'd be like, ooh.
Snap it in half.
Yeah, just for a rib, a harmless rib.
What's it like, yeah? But it's got to be one of the top tier.
Yes, he's top. Top tier for me.
Top tier. Ricochet played a big part in WCPW, the same Ricochet.
We disagree massively, by the way, on his theme tune.
We
disagree massively on his WCPW theme.
Oh, like the generic sort of like punky.
It wasn't generic, it was cool. Yeah.
It also sounded like it was played through like underwater. Like,
yeah, the quality of the recording wasn't brilliant. Yeah.
What made it so good in your opinion?
I liked it. That was a catchy tune.
Ugh.
Forevermore. Sound like Pennywise or one of them bands. I don't know who it actually was.
I'll take your word for it. He loses the internet title while challenging Cody at Lights Out. Another fantastic pay-per-view name there. Mixed tag team matches involving B and Ospreay were obviously fantastic. Had no right to be as good as they were, even though, that doesn't matter. They were just fantastic.
No, they were just better than you'd expect from what you assume is going to be a semi-comedic mixed tag match. And then they just go for it.
Double Hurricane Rana's all sorts going on. True Destiny, the rope snaps.
This is my destiny.
The rope snapped in his match with Ospreay very, very early on. So good, they broke the damn ring. Another iconic call there from Matt Stryker, who, if he was in this tier, would be straight in the top for my money. But obviously they worked. It might have been you who said it back at the time. You were like, that's a good thing to happen because there's never been an Ospreay versus Ricochet match like this, and there never will be again.
Tell you what, Ross, I'm really glad. I don't like to brag, but I'm really glad you've mentioned that.
Get down, Kurt Angle. Give me 20.
I remember there was Bedlam. No, I didn't do that. I remember there was Bedlam at Gorilla. And I remember thinking, this is good. This is good. It took a while, like a minute or so, once the panic had stopped.
Well, that's 90% of their moves. They can't do, innit, if there's no top rope.
They still had a phenomenal match.
Ricochet obviously pulling the broken turnbuckle in the sort of corner of the ring, but on the mat. And he did a moonsault or a
something
fall?
Like that, yeah.
Yeah, just so you could say he did it off the top rope, but the top rope was on the mat. Very good stuff indeed. Then he had a fantastic match against Drew Galloway in Nottingham, which was just silly, the stuff they were doing to each other. As was his match against Keith Lee at the US World Cup show.
Oh, I just remember. All I remember from that match is endless Beal throws, big hip tosses, just huge, just launching Ricochet across the ring.
Ricochet doing that to Keith, by the way, not the other way.
No.
Then it's Stacked 2017, his match against Rey Mysterio, which I remember because I was covering from Newcastle, but for the social media, so I was making GIFs of all the moves they did. Nice. And it included the moonsault DDT thing that obviously Rey did to Eddie Guerrero back in the day.
Oh, yes.
But Ricochet, no. So Ray would have done it to Ricochet. I think that's the right way around.
That's a nice homage.
It happened one way or the other. And then he got to the semi-finals of the Pro Wrestling World Cup before losing to Ospreay.
Superhero poses all over the show.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Right, that's the match where they started fighting in their ring jackets.
Did they?
They didn't even wait for the bell. Yeah. Just start going for it.
I know. But there we go. He did a lot, so did Ricochet.
Mm.
Where do you reckon?
Lovely.
I'll go lovely as well. What's keeping him up the top tier in your opinion?
Storylines.
Why?
It's glitching out, Ross. That's fine. Oh, it doesn't like this. I let go ages ago.
There you go. Yeah. I don't know why I clapped there. Just clapped for no reason whatsoever. Next up, we have a hip-hop and happening tag team, a father and son tag team known as Mustache Mountain. Of course, Tyler Bate and Trent Seven. They only had 4 matches as a tag team in WCPW, which was a shock to me. And what was even more of a shock there, Jack the Jobber, is that they lost 3 of those matches.
I'm very surprised. The one that I remember most was the one with Moss and Slater, I think, which was a hellacious match.
Hellacious.
Yes.
Hellacious. Their only win came in a 3-way elimination match, which took place on Loaded. Of course, they lost, as Jack just said, in the first round of the tag team title tournament to the eventual winners, Moss and Slater. Trent had 1 singles match in WCPW, which was the big choppy PP match, as we mentioned earlier, with Johnny Moss in the small room in Northumbria University. And Tyler Bate had 1 singles match, which was the technical wizardry thingy against Liam Slater.
Yes.
I've done the thing again where I've written Tyler had a match against Tyler. I should weigh up a bit more, shouldn't I? But it was against Liam Slater and it was fantastic.
Yes.
And I thought they did a lot more in WCPW than they actually did do.
Me too. But Everything they did was really good. So I don't know whether it's... For me, it's... At first, I thought when you said they'd only had, like, four tag matches, I thought, well, then it's all right category. But do they get pushed up because of the quality?
I'll go bottom of Lovely Lovely. Bottom of Lovely. Because they were great when they were in there. And we should say that time was cut short by NXT UK.
And also, at the time, they were a... They came in like they were a proper established tag team, but not a lot of our audience had heard of them compared to places like In Progress and places where they'd started to really build a brand. But here it was like they were really winning over an unfamiliar crowd, and they did it every night.
Yeah,
really good stuff.
Really good, yeah. Speaking of really good, we now have Viper, who maybe didn't hit the heights that she probably could have while as a part of WCPW, because basically, as we mentioned earlier, she was the diesel to be Priestley Shawn Michaels. She was the muscle behind the snaky, cowardly chicken poo champion.
Yes.
Chain Reaction, fantastic pay-per-view name again. She beats Kaylee Ray. Bulletproof, she beats Lana Austin. She's in the 30-man Rumble where Kirby wins the big one. Yes, Viper was in that match as well. At Henry Mania, she defeats Session Moth Martina. At Fight Back with a Dick in the Ash, she loses to Kaylee Ray before losing again at Battle of Destroy when she cost the injured Be Her title by stepping in for her and losing, of course, to Kaylee Ray.
Yes.
Of course, she closed out her time in WCPW with a loss to Bea Priestley, bringing things full circle in some way.
Kind of the opposite of Mustache Mountain there, because I didn't realise she'd actually done quite as much as she had done. Maybe because it came more towards the end, which, as we've said earlier in the video, seemed to be a lot quicker than the start did. Yeah. So I don't know where to put her then.
I would say underutilized, therefore just about bearable. In the way that she was used, just about bearable.
Similar to your Angelicos, your Pete Dunnes.
Didn't really get to see the best of what she could offer.
Yes, I'd agree with that. I'd agree. Unfortunately, I don't think she's managed to get that in WWE either.
I saw a tweet, it was yesterday, was it the 14th of June, it is 1 year of her on the main roster.
She's been there for a year now.
And I cannot believe a year goes that quickly.
She is fantastic when she's allowed to do what she's good at.
Yeah.
ICW basically is where she was good.
Basically, yeah. But hopefully she gets there in the WWE. Yeah. But now we have a man who could be in the top tier, could be in Lovely Lovely, could be in the bin, who knows what might happen. It depends how Jack the Jobber's feeling about Will Ospreay. He's going straight in the top for you, isn't he?
Yeah, but...
Because you love him, don't you? You bloody love him.
Not just that, though, right? He is a fantastic wrestler, and I'm a big fan of his work. But I think he was really versatile for us.
Yeah.
And despite being one of the hottest acts in the wrestling world at the time, he did some tag team division stuff. He did all kinds of stuff. He wrestled with loads of different people. Wasn't afraid to take a loss like the one against Kirby that we mentioned. So I'm sure you'll mention all this.
Here is the potted history of Will Ospreay in WCPW. He arrived, obviously, as the best of the Super Juniors out there 2016, the summer of 2016, as a baby face. Hard to imagine now in 2022 that he was a valiant baby face in the world of professional wrestling. He started off with a couple of wins. Then, of course, he had that shock defeat to Martin Kirby unloaded, as Jack just mentioned, with the wonderful promo putting over Martin Kirby. Then he had the little series of matches with Kirby, including that 2 out of 3 falls thing with the massive Hurricane Rana off the top rope that we mentioned earlier at Delete WCPW. Then we move into the sort of the Swords of Essex Pachiti Club era of Will Ospreay, where he turns heel and he's aligned with Bea Priestley, and he's got the stuff with Bea and Trevor and the mixed tag team matches and whatnot. Mm-hmm. All fantastic stuff. He won the tag team titles when he was the last minute replacement in the ladder match as part of the Swords of Essex. Then he went, that tag team of the Swords of Essex went on to defeat the team of Galloway and Kirby unloaded with the titles on the line, which a match I can't remember at all. Galloway and Kirby being on the same team.
Wait, that was the... Was that not the match where I got superkicked before it?
Was it?
I think so.
In Leicester?
Yeah, because Drew ran in to save the day. They superkicked me and started beating up Kirby, and then Drew ran in, and as he slid in the ring, I just caught his knee in my head. I thought, bloody hell.
He meant that.
No, he did not mean that.
Then we had the fantastic matches for Ospreay, of course, back in singles action against Galloway for the title at Exit Wounds. Matt Stryker being fantastic on commentary. Eventually, the Swords would lose the tag team titles to War Machine. And then, obviously, we move on into the Pro Wrestling World Cup, where Ospreay got to the final, doing it for the England. Bringing it home and all that sort of bollocks before he lost to Kushida in the final.
Bringing it home and lost to Kushida in the final. Yeah. Which is weird, because at the time, Kushida was kind of the favourite because he was higher in the New Japan pecking order than Will Ospreay. But if you look at it these days now, imagine if they had that same match again.
I mean, jacket time far supersedes anything the United Empire have done, for goodness sake. Yeah. Who's the United Empire compared to jacket time?
Jacket time. he's top tier for me.
Yeah, he's top tier. Whether it was face or heel, I thought he excelled in either role.
Yeah, I never knew really. I was quite naive to the the ways of Will Ospreay before he came in, because I just thought he's a really talented, flippy man. Yeah. But he showed off his heelishness and how good he was at cutting a heel promo and that sort of stuff.
He was another one I was really intimidated by, because he is like a proper, I don't think he's a proper like Jack the Laird.
Proper superstar.
And all sausage roll. I bought sausage roll.
He got Greg's for everyone.
He got a big payday from New Japan. He had some behind the scenes. He just walked in and everyone was sat around before the show, just putting up the seats and whatnot, and all the rest are just sitting down having a chit chat. And he just buys everyone a sausage roll.
Yeah, yeah. But I guess whenever you're intimidated by a wrestler like that, all you've got to try and think is, you're a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
You're a loser like me. You're just just way more successful.
Way more talented To be fair, he was a really nice guy whenever I was sort of interacted with him. Was he the same with you? He hated you, didn't he?
Well, he hated me, yeah. So I can't possibly comment.
There we go. Yeah. But he was very nice to me. Yeah. Zack Sabre Jr. is who we are rounding things off with on this tier list. My goodness, we've come to the end. He loses to his debut match in WCPW to Cody while challenging for the Internet Championship. Good matches with the likes of Gabriel Kidd and Liam Slater, as we mentioned earlier in their sections. Bulletproof comes around. He challenges Christopher Daniels for the Ring of Honor Championship in a triple threat also involving Adam Cole Bebe. Mm. That's a match that happens. Zack Sabre Jr. versus Christopher Daniels, who I think was a shock sort of appearance on the night where we didn't know who he was going to be.
I don't know how we flew him out in time.
Catapult.
Yeah, yeah. It got a great reception, though.
Yeah. And then he lost to Kidd in the match for Kidd's Internet Championship at the time. Got the quarterfinals of the Pro Wrestling World Cup before eventually getting his own back on Gabriel Kidd and taking the Internet title off of him. And that's just about everything Zack Sabre Jr. did in WCPW. Anything about Zack Sabre Jr.?
Ross, this sounds mad, right? It sounds crazy. But given that it's Zack Sabre Jr. and one of the best technical wrestlers in the world, I still think he's one of those ones that could have been used better than he was. Yeah. So for me, he's still in all right. Yeah. And he had some great matches. I think his best one was probably after we left for Defiant against Walter.
Oh, when he got the chop.
Yeah. But the ones against Kidd were good and everything. But I just feel like, apart from maybe the World Cup, he was never that featured, I suppose.
And the one thing that we definitely missed out on back in the day is the promos.
I can't remember
him cutting a promo, but obviously his promos are fantastic with all sorts of references to British culture and whatnot.
Yeah. I think it's all right. I think it's all right. Not his promos. I think they're great. I think his position on this list
is all right as well.
Yeah.
Now we've come to the end there. Now we need to go work our way up from bottom to top and work out if we need to move anyone up or anyone down. El Hijo. He's got to stay in the
bin.
Angelico, I reckon, stays where he is. Pete Dunne underutilised. Brandy did a little bit here and there. Viper underutilised. I think they're fine.
It's none of their faults, really. It was just the way it was used. Yeah. The way they were used.
Then we've got Bad Bones. We've got HD Drake. We've got Aaron Stevens. We've got Moose. We've got Doug Williams. We've got Kaylee Ray and Zack Sabre Jr. in all right tier. I think they're fine in there. Lovely, lovely. We've got War Machine. We've got Ricochet. We've got Kurt Angle. We've got Gabriel Kidd. We've got Liam Slater. We've got Johnny Moss. We've got Nixon Newell, we've got B. Priestley, we've got the Good Prince, and we have Mustache Mountain. Mm-hmm. All valid contenders.
I think so.
Lovely, lovely, lovely spot.
And might move up in the top tier, but in our hearts anyway.
And now we get to the bit where the pressure's on Jack the Jobber, because we must work out who is the best of the best. Who was the best ever superstar in the history of WCPW? Some might call the result of this a huge scoop.
Yeah.
Cody Rhodes, did his WCPW run supersede that there of Big Damo?
That's a really hard one just to start off with there. I'm struggling. What do you think?
I think Cody's was just because he was around longer, wasn't he?
He was, to be fair. But Damo pushes him close.
Yeah. Kirby over Rhodes.
Yeah.
This is a big one. Connors over Kirby.
Get out of the way. There we go. Sorry. Connors or Kirby? They were intertwined a lot as well.
Yes, they were.
They're like two sides of the same coin. The heel and the face were, the hero and the villain. I'll still stick with Kirby.
I'll stick with Kirby as well if I was up there. Galloway or Kirby?
For me, he slots in like just ahead of Cody, maybe, like around here.
Rampage Brown or Kirby?
Not more than Kirby, but he's like round here for me. Like he's up there certainly.
The local hero turned prestigious one or Kirby?
Kirby still.
This is the toughest one, I would say.
But Henry's like there.
Those are the two faces, I would say, of WCPW.
I would say so as well. Although I'd say Rampage and Connors are up there as well. Yeah.
Broken Matt Hardy or Kirby?
Oh well, now again, Matt Hardy wasn't around for that long, but he was fantastic when he was there.
Bully Ray.
I'll nudge him ahead of Matt. But again, not quite for me.
I'll leave that one for last there. Will Ospreay or Kirby?
No, but I'm going to move Ospreay up a few spaces.
This is the big one. Your what culture general manager, Adam Pacitti, or Martin Kirby, his great nemesis? Who was the face that ran the place in WCPW? Literally. Well, no, I guess literally I.
I'll
not
have
metaphorically
to go,
at all.
I'll have to go for our leader. No, I'm going for Martin Kirby.
That's
but
fair.
Again, as we start this video by saying, I think it's only fair to put Adam over, brother, because he was really good. I mean, who would have thought but he was really good.
Such a shrinking violet, that man, isn't
yes.
he? But there we go. That is our ranking for all the WCPW roster members that we can talk about. Let us know what you feel in the comments down below. I don't feel like words are coming out of my mouth right. Let us know how you feel about what we've done here in the comments down below.
Do you know what? I want to shout out someone who, unfortunately, was just intertwined with too many. There was just too many people that we hadn't mentioned. We couldn't squeeze him in because he didn't do anything on it as a single superstar. And that's Lucas Archer.
Oh, yeah, Lucas Archer.
We actually mentioned Lucas Archer as well. A lovely lad.
Played his role in getting the Judgment Day, the prospect to Orlando with the kitten
yes,
and whatnot.
Yes, absolutely.
Fantastic. Anyway, there you go. Let us know how much you disagree with everything we've said here today. We make sure to read every single one of them and cry about them all night long. Jack, any closing remarks?
No, just what a strange time it was.
It was a strange time.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. I've been Gary YouTube. That's what we do in these ones, isn't it? He's been Gary YouTube as well. Thank you for joining us for this Gary YouTubing, and we'll see you next time when we do something like this again.
Goodbye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.